This week, we're airing excerpts from Mohawk Industries' second quarter earnings conference call. We recorded this past Friday. As we rejoin this call, you'll be listening to the Q&A session. Those questions will be fielded by Jeff Lorberbaum, Mohawk's chairman and CEO, and by Frank Boykin, the company's chief financial officer.
And your first question is from the line of Stephen Kim with Barclays.
Thanks very much, guys, and congratulations. Strong performance in a tough quarter. My first question relates to the U.S. You had made some comments about how the residential market showed some improvement in 3Q. I was curious if you could elaborate a little bit more on whether a little bit of this pickup that you're seeing here in 3Q is showing up in from primarily the new, or if it's also a little bit of remodeling starting to pick up. And as part of that, if you could talk a little bit about the impact of product mix looking into 3Q.
The statement was that we saw some improvement in the business coming in. We didn't really reference any piece. In general, we're seeing slightly better trends in the first part of the quarter than we saw coming out of June. I forgot the second part of your question.
Mix. Are we seeing any
improvement? The product mix, we've spent a tremendous amount of effort over the last year and a half, 2 years, focused on trying to create more innovation in the marketplace, introducing better products that can achieve higher margins in all the different segments. And we're starting to see some benefit from those actions in all the different segments.
Okay. Well, I'd like to follow up on that more, but I'm sure other people will. Let me switch it a little bit to Unilin. Obviously, another very strong performance there. If I heard Frank right, it sounded like Unilin's operating margin was actually 12.8% ex-currency, which obviously was a very strong figure. I'm trying to understand if you could help us with a couple of things as we look into Unilin going forward. First of all, my understanding is that the foam board business is expanding rapidly, and I'm guessing that probably represented about roughly half of the growth, the 7% growth top line in that division that we saw this quarter. I want to see if you could give me some sense of if that's about right, or if the laminate part of the business, you know, grew, you know, was the bulk of the gain. And then also, if you can make some basic comments about what you expect for the furniture initiative and any update on what's going on there. Thanks.
The insulation board business, the increase we have today will allow us to grow to about 70 million euros with our present capacity in the business, and it's growing much faster than the other parts of the business. The laminate business grew less than the average for the others, which we would expect, and all the different actions we're taking, we think, you know, we're growing where the industry's shrinking. It's got to do with, again, all the actions to expand our distribution into different channels and marketplaces as we go forward.
And Steve, let me correct you. You had said, I don't remember the number, but the actual operating margin excluding charges was 11.7%, and that does not exclude FX. That's just the margin as a percent to sales.
Right, but if you exclude the currency on top of that, it would be 12.8% excluding charges and excluding currency effect, right?
We can go offline on it. I think you'd have to go back and adjust the sales number as well for the currency.
Okay, got it. Okay, great. Well, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Your next question is from the line of Mike Wood with Macquarie Capital.
Hi, good morning. In the DIY channel expansion in Unilin, how much room is there to go? How much headroom or how much longer should we expect that kind of penetration to occur for?
We think we have continued opportunity. We really have different strategies between the U.S. and Europe. In Europe, the strategy is to have selective distribution and participate under our brand in the premium part of the marketplace. So we're going to each country looking for a limited number of customers to participate in the premium market and give them opportunities to step their customers up. In the U.S., we have a broader-based strategy, which is to participate in a broader range of price points in the marketplace and do it under other brand names. So we have different strategies. We think there's opportunities in both to keep growing. We have limited participation in both continents in it, so it has significant upside.
Okay, and in the rugs, with the retailers deferring promotions, can you just give us some more color in terms of do you have control over whether or not they're promoting the product? And in your view, is this the right thing to do in the current environment?
We don't have any control over what they do. We provide them opportunities, and they choose whether to do it. What's happening is they're getting, in the last quarter, they were much more conservative than we expected, both with their inventories and their promotional activities, as they had greater concerns over the consumer.
Great, thank you.
Your next question is from the line of David MacGregor with Longbow Research.
Yes, good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. Good morning.
You flagged the commercial business and the growth there. Can you just give us some quantification of what you were seeing in terms of a growth rate for the overall commercial business?
I'm not sure that I have a number for the overall piece. We see that the commercial business started growing about 2 years ago now, as it started out with mostly investments and remodeling. We saw an increase in it through the period. We see, as we've gone through this year, that it's continued to grow. So the growth rate is slightly less than we think it's been last year. There's some new building starting going on, which is helping it a little bit. And we think it's going to continue at a reasonable rate.
Can you give us an update on the percentage of each segment that would be commercial?
I don't have those broken out.
At a very high level, David, in the Valtau segment, about 40% is commercial, and in the Mohawk segment, it's in the kind of mid-20s, maybe high-20s, in that range.
20s.
In Unilin, it would be zero.
In Unilin, is zero.
Close to zero.
Yeah.
Right. Last question. Just with all the new product investments you've got going on, what do you think sort of the temporary expense associated with just, you know, ramping those might be?
What we've done is we've really tried to focus on our SG&A expenses, and what we've been doing is reducing our general SG&A expenses by becoming more productive and cutting out things that we thought had limited value. And what we've been doing is investing those dollars into these new product categories. And I think we're managing through it reasonably well and overcoming all the inflation you have in everything in addition to that.
Can you hold on to those cost savings once these products are fully ramped?
We would expect SG&A as a percent of sales to keep improving, you know, over time.
Okay. Thanks very much, guys.
Okay.
Your next question is from the line of Eric Bosshard with Cleveland Research Company.
Good morning. In terms of your commentary on second half volume, seemed to suggest that you thought you'd have growth in the second half, and you didn't in the second quarter. I'm just wondering if you can give a little bit more color on what you think is different in the second half relative to what you experienced in the second quarter.
We have our internal estimates that we think that we have in place, certain activities to increase the sales. We really do not know exactly what the market's going to do, but we're making the assumption that it's more of the same. And under those conditions, we think that the volume's going to go up a little bit, and as well as price increases. So you have a price increase in the ceramic business going in, or the price increases that we've already put in place in the carpet industry. We have expansion of products that we think are higher value than the other, which should help the average selling prices. So we think we're going to see some positive things.
Very good. Thank you.
Your next question is from the line of Mike Rehaut with J.P. Morgan.
Thanks. I was hoping to go back to a question earlier about you know, a little better granularity around your comments of U.S. order trends improving so far in the third quarter. If you could possibly just break that down for us between if either that was driven by, you know, new residential construction or builder end market versus repair remodel, what was the bigger driver of that, or was it only one of the two segments? You know, just some, you know, better description of that.
I don't have the detail in front of me. We all know that the new construction builder business is going up from a very low base. Most people have it about 15% from a 15 plus or minus percent in that. The apartment part of the business is improving. The occupancy rates are there. It's showing improvement. The commercial business is still improving on similar trends that it has been in the past, we think. And the big question is what's going to happen to remodeling pieces. And your guess is as good as ours. We just think that we're well positioned in product mix and new introductions to help ourselves a little bit different than the market.
And you know, in terms of your back half outlook, so as you just said, you're looking for volume, a little bit of volume growth, a little bit of pricing growth. But you know, at the same time, your comps in the back half of the year do get a little bit tougher. And here in the second quarter, you were up 2% against an easier comp. So you know, are there certain initiatives or selling promotions that give you that extra confidence? And if there's maybe certain Mohawk, segments like, because we would still expect Mohawk to be down a little bit year over year. If there are other things going on, perhaps in Daltile and Unilin, that drives that confidence for the volume growth.
I mean, yeah, I can just tell you that each of the divisions have it broken down by customer, by product, by channel. They have it looked at new introductions, and they appear optimistic about their potential.
Your next question is from the line of David Goldberg with UBS.
Good morning. It's actually Susan.
Hi, Susan.
In terms of the new products that you guys are introducing, can you give us some sense of how the pricing or the margins on those compare to your more traditional offerings or your older products, your more established products?
Each of the divisions has internal goals to introduce new products that improve their margins over the past ones. They all have goals that look to add greater value and style and design that command slightly higher margins on new products than old. They all track, what they're introducing versus the ones they're doing. On the other hand, we want to participate in the different areas in the commodity businesses, which are price-driven, and we believe that we are improving our mix through providing leading style and design in each area. I would say that one of the best ones we have is our Unilin business, which they focus on since we have it. They basically have almost no commodity business, and everything's driven through, bringing style and design to the marketplace. And we are driving that across all the different businesses.
Okay. And given the current environment, would you say that you're basically able to hold the higher margins or the improved profitability on the products where that is sort of your goal, or are you having to give some of that up?
Listen, we're in competitive marketplaces. We have inflationary pieces in different ones. We've talked about raising prices in the ceramic business to help cover the inflation. We've talked about the margins in the Unilin business being under pressure as the raw materials have risen faster than we've been able to pass them through. The Mohawk business, what you've seen is we've been able to change the mix in the products to help the margins as we go through the new product introductions. And so that's how we're getting to the improved margins in a business.
Okay.
Your next question is from the line of Keith Hughes with SunTrust.
Thank you. On the rug business, can you give some kind of idea how much the rug business was down or what it was down in dollars or something along those lines in the second quarter?
We really don't break out the sales of individual products within the business.
Let me ask you this way, Jeff. As as a percentage of the Mohawk segment, what do rugs represent nowadays?
I mean, it's a limited portion of the total. We just don't break down to each individual product and pieces for you guys. I mean, we have 100 different products and pieces in all the different businesses.
In that segment, Keith, as you know, we've got Broadloom carpet, we've got rugs, we've also got Hertz hard surface products, we've got pad and cushion products. So we've got a number of different products in that segment.
This is the second quarter row. We've had some rug issues. Are they behind us at this point, or do you think this issue is going to continue on in the second half of the year?
Well, we believe that the third quarter in rugs will be better than the second quarter in rugs. There was some things pushed out in the second quarter into the third quarter. We'll see those. We're anticipating improvement in it, but we haven't assumed that the market's going to change dramatically and the retailers are going to change. Some of them are becoming very conservative in their buying habits.
Final question. You talked about mix positive. Is mix and carpet positive in the last quarter or two?
Yes.
Is that the first time in 3 or 4 years that you've seen positive mix in carpet?
I don't know. Remember exactly when it started, but I mean, we have put a lot of emphasis on putting out more stylized, differentiated products, and it's starting to give us benefits.
All right, thanks.
This will conclude the second part of our coverage of Mohawk Industries' second quarter earnings conference call. You've been listening to the Q&A session, with those questions being fielded by Jeff Lorberbaum, Mohawk's chairman and CEO, and the company's chief financial officer, Frank Boykin. We'll air the final part of this series tomorrow. This is Floor Radio.